Good morning. It is time to get up with How About Them Cowboys? The D in Big D stands for downcast. Was this a bad day or a bad sign? Meanwhile, Zach is whack. The Jets' dream season has turned into a very familiar nightmare, and we've got the one and only solution. Plus, the bad news bears a new low. Not even Taylor Swift could write a song this sad. We've got all that and a whole lot more. It's a Monday. Let's do this thing. Make some noise. I need to be piped up. I haven't seen the sun in 3 days, and my team stinks. Outside that, we're doing great. D-Wood is here. Danny's in Cincinnati. RC is looking just sharp. Rex is ready to go. Let's do this thing. We start in the desert. It was a Cowboys home game in Arizona. Dak Prescott and the Cardinals should have been a laugher, right? Not so much. Nobody told Josh Dobbs. Nobody told James Conner.
Listen, James Conner was running the football the same way last week against the New York Giants. He wanted to make it about physicality, and he did that from the beginning of the game.
Cardinals went for two, didn't get it. They're up 9-0 early now. Second quarter, it's 9-3. Rondale Moore. He's 5'7" and speedy.
Hey, last I checked, Trayvon Diggs was not a part of the run front. Dallas Cowboys were punched in the mouth early on in this game, and they never responded defensively.
15-3. Cowboys moved the ball a lot of the day, and then here's Rico Dowdle. Dak threw for 249.
Listen, Dak Prescott threw for 249, and he had some good moments, but he needed to be better in the red zone, and that shows up later in the game.
Should they run the ball? Of course they should. Tony Pollard got 23 carries, 122 yards. Rexy takes this one for 31.
Yeah, man, we should have seen more of this thing. Give the guy the ball 30 times and instead of watching Arizona run the ball down your throat.
Well, the bottom line, they kept getting in scoring territory. This is a 4th-and-4. Dak, nowhere to go.
Listen, Jerry Jones is not fighting father time for this. The reason Jerry Jones is around to win a championship, and this ain't gonna get it.
Now, there's a missed opportunity down by 8. Now, we're still down by 8. Here's a 3rd-and-goal with throwing the fade.
Listen, you can throw the fade, but if you're CeeDee Lamb, you need to elevate. You have your best player on a 6th-round rookie. I don't mind the call, but better execution needs to happen.
They kick a field goal. Where's the execution on the defense on the very next play? Rex, where are we?
Hey, they put in one of my coverages clearly right here. Or excuse me, Denver's coverages. And there it goes again.
Joshua Dobbs, 17 of 21, 189 yards, and he's looking to put a Hollywood finish on it. Hollywood Brown, Cardinals 28, Cowboys 16. Same score, 3 minutes left. Last chance, Dallas. 3rd-and-goal. One more time in the scoring area. Dak Prescott picked.
Well, listen, apparently when you're in the red zone, you need to be a rocket scientist. Joshua Dobbs is.
Yes, he is. Nice job throwing that ball into a
Cowboys.
Right.
Not so much. Woo. A stunner. Dak, what?
Y'all put us on top of the world. We know who we are, and in that same sense, I'm sure the media got what they wanted. It sucks. It's humbling, but to say it's a wake-up call, we knew we had a lot of adversity, and we just didn't get it done.
The reality is we got to take in every game is like the Super Bowl, and we got to play up to our standard. We can't play down to teams, and I felt like that's what we did today.
Okay, we got a lot. Rex, I'll give you the first crack. What'd you think of what Micah just said?
That's total BS, man. I mean, you just got pummeled by that team. I mean, they whipped your tail in all over the field right there. And you're going to show lack of respect? Well, guess what's going to happen again? You're going to get your ass kicked again by them if you play them again. Because they're going to be like, oh, really? Oh, well, you thought that was bad? Wait till this ass whipping. And to me, that was total disrespect. How you do that to a team in the NFL? Just admit, they out-physicaled you. They were the better team that day. And move on. I don't know, Micah Parsons, I love you as a player, but that was a punk move.
Well, the honest to God truth is this. You can't be a Dallas Cowboys and not hear what's going on outside, not hear the perception. You know, Dak Prescott says, y'all built us up to be this. We know who we are. Well, who are you?
Right.
Apparently, or we thought you were the team we were building you up to be. We thought you were a team that could go out and win a Super Bowl. And to win a Super Bowl, every week you need to step up. There is no playing down to anybody in the NFL. All of these people are professionals. All of these people are paid millions of dollars. And championship caliber teams approach every game in that manner. That's not what the Dallas Cowboys did. And also, too, champions respond. right? When you get punched in the mouth, you don't cower, you don't run in the corner, you don't ask your trainer, how do I come out and fight? You get out swinging and you say, if I'm gonna get knocked out, I'm gonna get knocked out as me, which means putting your face mask on somebody else. And this is the other part too. Mike McCarthy, this is his first adversity as a play caller. This is his first time having to play a team or being in a situation where our defense isn't dominating, we aren't getting short fields, we aren't scoring points ourselves. Go do something. And Dak Prescott, if you know who you guys are, you be the leader that gets y'all to the championship. You be the leader that changes things. This can be a wake-up call for the Dallas Cowboys, but only if they learn lessons. If not, they're in trouble.
We talked about, Rex, we talked about this last week, right? Everyone's been lauding the Dallas Cowboys on defense. All they got is ferocious pass rush. Well, you know what neutralizes a ferocious pass rush? You punch somebody in the damn mouth. And that's exactly what the Arizona Cardinals did to the Dallas Cowboys on defense. It's hard for Michael Parsons to go off when you got 300 pounders leaning on you the whole game. And you know what's going to happen? Every other team is going to say, this is what we got to do, because it's a copycat league. Yeah. Teams are going to look at what the Arizona Cardinals did, and they're going to try to do the exact same thing. Run the damn ball against this Dallas Cowboys defense and don't allow them to tee off on you.
Well, but that's the thing. Not everybody's built to do it, right? Coming into this week, I knew the Arizona Cardinals could, because the Arizona Cardinals aren't going to try to do anything else. The Arizona Cardinals know, with Joshua Dobbs at quarterback, this is what we are. We have a quarterback that can use his legs. We have a James Conner. You got a tailback in James Conner that's going to get downhill, that's going to play physical, that's going to give us energy. And they did those things. But on top of that, it was, okay, let's see which team tightens up if this game gets close. Mm-hmm. You know what happens when you're supposed to win a championship? What happens when everybody's saying you're this and you're that and this is finally the year? When the game gets close and you're playing against somebody that's not supposed to get in the game, things tighten up, right? And I ain't talking about hamstrings and quads,
you're talking
right?
about that column.
Yeah, things tighten up. Right. And when that tightens up, what do? The best of teams fall back on the foundational principle of football, which is physicality. And the Dallas Cowboys did not do that.
Let's give some love to the Cardinals. They're playing hard. No one told them they were supposed to be tanking their season away, so let's give them credit. But the reality of it is this. If the Cardinals can lean on the Cowboys, you're saying not everyone can do that. I'm with you. But name me two teams who absolutely can.
Well, how about Philadelphia, the first team?
And San Francisco, right?
And absolutely. San Francisco. Yeah. Both those teams are physical, and they're looking at this going, they're still the same old Cowboys. Mm. Like, that's it. Last year, we saw Philly just beat the heck out of them by doing exactly that. Can their quarterback run?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Is he part of the running game? Yeah, I think so. Is that offensive line going to be like, come on, we're going to move you off this line of scrimmage just like we always do.
Right.
And so, to me, that's it. So, and let's face it, this injury is devastating to Dallas.
Trayvon Diggs'
injury.
Tell me why.
Absolutely devastating to him, because they can't play all that man coverage they want. They started to play the first 2 weeks of the season. All right. So, to me, it's a different defense now. You don't have the two lockdown corners anymore. And so they got to make the adjustment. Dan Quinn has to make some adjustments.
Big picture.
Well, the big picture is this, right? Everybody's going to come on here and they're going to say, or they're going to listen to us and go, it's only one game. Well, it's actually not one game. Because when you're the Dallas Cowboys, it's about how do we win a Super Bowl? We're not talking about this team as a playoff contender. We're not talking about this team as an NFC East champion. The reason that you bring up San Francisco and the Philadelphia Eagles is because in order to be everything they're supposed to be, those are the teams they have to beat. And you know how the league works, D. Wood. When I start watching this film, because at some point I'm going to have to play the Arizona Cardinals. And when I'm watching the Arizona Cardinals play against the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going, this it?
Yeah.
Right? Like this is your king?
Yeah.
Right? This is who you're bringing out to play against us? And if you're San Francisco and if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, for 2 weeks you thought, okay, it's three of us in this race. Right now, you're feeling really good that the Dallas Cowboys may not be a part of that if they don't make changes.
One thing I want to say about if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, you got red zone problems, right? That's what we've seen this year, red zone problems.
Yeah.
McCarthy's done a good job up until the red zone. Whatever happened to Dak Prescott as a runner, that's where he needs to show up, is in the red zone. He had two opportunities, run for a touchdown. Goal! Like, I don't see it anymore. That kid, when he first came in the league, he was a dual threat the way a Josh Allen is, the way, you know, Jalen Hurts is. Why the hell he doesn't do that anymore is beyond me. That's how you can, because you know why? we don't have an answer. Numbers,
it's hard. It's hard to account for a running quarterback down there. Yes.
Part of the reason, maybe it seems to me that he has run a lot less since he got hurt. That one time that he got hurt running with the ball. Let me just very quickly make Rex's point for him. Yesterday, they turned the ball over in the red zone more times than they scored touchdowns in the red zone. You see, their numbers have fallen off consistently every week.
But that, and I. Last week, doubled down on the fact that I believe Dak Prescott is a good enough quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And you don't win a Super Bowl in spite of Dak Prescott. I believe Dak Prescott is good enough to help you win a Super Bowl, to be a reason you win the Super Bowl. Not like that, right? Not playing that way in the red zone. Not playing that way in the red zone for 3 weeks. Everybody's going to look at it as it's just yesterday. But this has been a story that has been building. This is a narrative that they're creating because of a lack of execution. And yes, he's protected the football because he hasn't had to put it in harm's way. We get the drop last week from Sauce Gardner. This time, you have an opportunity to elevate your team. They're not asking Dak to elevate his team every single week. They're not asking you to elevate your team every single series. We know we could go out and try to depend on Michael Parsons and his defense at least before Trayvon Diggs went down. Dak Prescott, it is time, right? It is time for you to answer the bell, and you don't have to do it every time. But when we're standing, here's the feeling I want, right? Here's the feeling I would have with Ben Roethlisberger. There was weeks that you was playing Tom Brady and you was like, you know what? We're not gonna win that battle today. If I'm a defense, and I'm playing against Joshua Dobbs, no disrespect, a guy that's traded at training camp, is named the starter. He's showing that he's a good player. I feel like my dude is better than their dude. And if I can't get it going, you're so much better than their guy is at the best position in football. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to fix it. And you were there. You were there where quarterback execution matters more than anything, where synergy between offensive coordinator and head coach and play caller and quarterback matters more than anything. And you failed.
Yeah.
You failed. And so the conversation shouldn't be, you guys put us here. The conversation should be, I failed. If he starts with, I failed, if Michael Parsons starts with, we failed, it's a different thing going forward in that locker room.
Absolutely.
Everybody understands we got to be better.
But Dak usually is the guy that talks about that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's got to get back to it because you know what, Dak? But he should, I'm telling you, if he becomes the guy he used to be and uses legs more in the red zone, watch what happens to those numbers.
They'll say this. The one thing he said that was thoroughly wrong was when he said, oh, the media, you know, they're going to love the fact that we lost it. We hate it when the Cowboys lose. There's nothing with one exception. There was one man in the media who did love yesterday's result. I give you Stephen A. Smith.
They're just the gift that keeps on giving, you know? They're just the gift. That's just a gift that keeps on giving. I keep trying to tell y'all. You don't want to listen. Cowboys best team in the NFL. Cowboys best team in the NFL. I'm telling you, Stephen, Cowboys the best team in the NFL. They didn't even lose to an Eagle. They lost to a Cardinal.
D-Wood. Very quickly, and I got other games I want to get to here. Last week, after they pummeled the Jets, we were saying, how do you beat this defense? Obviously, the loss of Trayvon Diggs is big, but you said you can't go around them. You got to go through them.
You got to go through this Dallas Cowboys defense. They have so much athleticism, so much speed. You know how you negate speed? Power. You smack them in the mouth, and that's exactly what the Arizona Cardinals did.
So if the question is, was it a bad day or a bad sign for the Dallas Cowboys? Maybe, just maybe, the answer is both. In the meantime, let's get to our next game here, because the Dolphins, Broncos.
Good Lord.
Holy smoke. Third play of the Dolphins' opening drive. We got Tua. Rex, where is the coverage?
Well, it ain't there in Denver, I can assure you. I don't know what the hell's going on.
How is Tyreek Hill that open? How is he that open?
He's a decoy.
And then how about this little shovel pass here?
This is amazing. You know, anytime Tyreek Hill's in motion, he's going to draw a ton of attention. And now we got Tua Tagovailoa with the Magic Johnson flip for the touchdown, the A-chain.
Tua 16 of 16 for 206 in the first half. And then it's Raheem Mostert. He had an unbelievable career yesterday. Bouncing off tackles. 28-10 Dolphins. Ensuing Broncos possession. We got more issues here. Russell, back. Cortland Sutton, hang on to the football.
Javon Holland is an absolute star. He punches the football out, and now we got Van Ginkle on the return.
Andrew Van Ginkle. Dolphins turn that into a touchdown. 35-13 at the half, but we're just getting started. Under a minute left in the third, it's 42-13. Tua, Mostert, nice tackling.
You know what normally happens? When somebody scores 35 on you in the first half, you say, I bet you they can't do it again. And you know what the Dolphins said? Lies you tell.
Watch me.
That's Mostert's fourth touchdown, 49-13, fourth quarter. Another shovel. Oh.
Listen, they just started playing games now. Now we're just having a good time. We're going to see if we can out-shovel the Kansas City Chiefs.
Four touchdowns for A-Chain. Four touchdowns for Mostert. 10 touchdowns for the Dolphins. They win it 70-20. Tua, what?
We're not trying to go out there and humiliate teams. You know, that's just what – that's just what it happened to look like.
Okay, so the numbers are the numbers. 726 yards, most by any team in the NFL since 1951. There's 70 points, most by a team since 1966. 130 FBS teams played this weekend. None of them scored as many points as the Dolphins did on Sunday.
Do you know what's crazy?
What?
There is a quarterback that wasn't Tua Tagovailoa, that should probably be the Jets starting quarterback right now, that threw a 70-yard touchdown against the Denver Broncos. And that was Mike White.
Yeah.
They had backups scoring touchdowns for the Miami Dolphins. I'm gonna be honest, and I don't believe it's hyperbole. This is the most explosive offense we've seen since the Greatest Show on Turf. Mm-hmm. And that's even with Kansas City's Tyreek Hills and all of those different things. There is so much speed on this field, and I believe that Mike McDaniel is so creative in the way he creates openings for these people and the empowerment of Tua Tagovailoa. Tua has always been extremely accurate. He's always been extremely skilled in going through progressions and processing. He is on an entirely different level. And what Tyreek Hill said, which still, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the world. Mm-hmm. What Tyreek Hill said when he got there is like, Tua is ultimately accurate, maybe more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. It's not as funny now to laugh at that when we're seeing what he's able to do.
Greeny, let me tell you something. These guys can speak to it as well. There's nothing scarier than facing speed. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins have literally a 4x1 track team out there. And so when you got a mad scientist in Mike McDaniel who knows how to design these things, and you're getting all of these track athletes out there, you know what it does? It puts everybody on their heels. Every time the Dolphins go out there on offense, these guys on defense are on their heels. It's the scare, like Ryan said, this is the scariest thing since the Greatest Show on Turf.
Did we mention they played that game without Jalen Waddle? So they played that game without arguably their second best weapon. That said, it takes two to tango. So, Rex, the Dolphins, brilliant. Take nothing away. How about the Denver defense?
What defense? They played yesterday? Mm.
You know what's funny? Like, I'm sitting here like, are you kidding me? That could have been me there and like – like, literally,
after Sean, you, maybe after they should Sean have ponied up last a year, bit, you know what Sean I'm Payton said last year that was maybe the worst coaching job in the history of the NFL. Ooh, now he gave up 70 points.
Rex, you wouldn't have gave up 70. I'm sorry.
You think? Hey, I mean,
not in half a season.
I mean, I gave up 45 one game. It felt like we got our living heck beat out of us.
What do we say about that?
It's just brutal. Like, I see it as absolutely a disgrace. And when you're sitting back out there, how do you face your team? Look, we can say what we want, whether it's me or somebody else. I mean, this is an absolute disaster. Nobody saw this coming. This defense literally was supposed to be a top five defense in the league. Yeah. And maybe number one with the right guy running it. But this is an absolute embarrassment. I don't disagree that Mike McDaniel's done an amazing job, all right, and the creativity and all that. The thing I'm most impressed with is how he's kept Tua upright.
Yeah.
That was the question. Yeah. All right. And so he's made it. The ball comes out of Tua's hand faster than does any other quarterback's.
Yep.
All right. And now guess what he's doing? Running the football. I thought the Miami Dolphins couldn't run the football. I thought they were in the Dalvin Cook sweepstakes. Well, what happened? They got two guys right here that can run it. So I definitely give this guy credit, but on the other side of it, that's the worst defense. I've only been on the planet for 60 years, never seen anything that bad.
When you watch this defense, it goes to institutional control, which is the head coach's job,
mm-hmm.
right? It's why let's not worry about how many babies Russell Wilson kisses.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about his public persona and mm-hmm. how he plays. Let's not worry about being the Fox analyst and coming back out and talking about what Nathaniel Hackett did.
Right.
I said it at that time. Talk about what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Talk about how we are going to get better. And we, for a head coach, is offense. It's special teams. It's defense. Sean Payton was worried about all of the wrong things in the offseason. And we gave him a pass because he'd won a Super Bowl. We gave him a pass because we felt like he was a good coach and had proven everything he needed to prove during his tenure in New Orleans. They're getting worse. And right now, when you play the Miami Dolphins, you understand what you're stepping into the stadium to do. So as a team, you play that offense.
I got 10 seconds.
Okay.
Go. 10.
The Denver defense has given up 16 touchdowns.
Yeah.
They forced 5 punts this year.
5 punts.
Are you absolutely kidding me?
Yeah.
So an absolute disaster. It ain't Russell Wilson.
Right.
Or whatever.
Russell Wilson right now is very low on their list of problems. Meanwhile, speaking of problems, after another offensive dud, is it time for the Jets to pivot their plan at quarterback? Rex and I are going to fight. Plus, the bad news bears, even worse, Taylor Swift couldn't write a song this sad. We're back in a moment. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Delicious, meet nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone with AutoZone. We're rolling along. Zach was whack. The Jets' dream season has turned into a nightmare. We've got one solution. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we are back. Bottom of the hour. Zach versus Mac, and it was whack from the beginning. First quarter, no score. Zach Wilson sacked by no one on this play, RC.
I mean, you once had a quarterback that saw a ghost, that was a New York Jet, and now we're just slipping because people are close to us. This was a bad start to an even worse day.
3rd and 3, Jets what? I mean, this fan, I think, spoke for us all when he said, I don't even want my teeth while this is going on.
Well, I hope no one saw that.
You got to invest in the grill.
You got to get the grill right.
All right, one big play. Farrell Brown. D. Wood, what happened here?
Who the hell is Farrell Brown, man? Listen.
Somebody that's going to touch it out.
Sauce got the deep third right there. Right, you got to get that.
58 yards. Patriots 10-0. Third quarter, 13-3. Jets, third and 13. Did I mention it was third and 13?
I can't believe Conklin didn't get the first.
Well behind the sticks. Garrett Wilson has had enough.
He's going to explode.
All I'm going to say is this. If Garrett Wilson is your homeboy, check on your friends.
Yeah.
Right. Check on your friends.
First and goal now. Jets, Nick Baldwin. This was after they'd gotten a nicely sold pass interference from Randall Cobb. 13-10. They have a million chances in the game. In this situation, they should have punted on third down.
Yes, they did.
I'm not kidding. They should have punted on third down. I was yelling at the TV, punt on third down.
I wasn't ready for that statement.
It's a safety.
I don't have anything prepared for that.
No, they should have punted. Instead, it's a safety. The Jets actually get one more chance. As D. Wood said, the Jets had three chances at the end. This should just be their offensive play. Just heave it up in the direction of the end zone. It almost worked. Randall Cobb almost catches it. Instead, in the end, it is the Patriots who get a much-needed win, 15-10, the scintillating final. Let's hear from the New York side of this. Zach Wilson, what?
I think we all trust in each other more than ever, especially as these times get tough and people count us out.
You're so confident, Zach.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. Yeah, it's my dog, and he can spin. All the confidence in the world. You know, we got to figure it out. On offense as a whole.
Right now, Zach is the best player in the he's who gives us the best chance to win.
Is it fair to the rest of your team to keep sticking by Zach through this?
Yeah.
D-Wood, I'll give you the, what?
Zach's not starting quarterback. Let's make that be, let's make it plain. He's not. The problem with the Jets is who are you going to pull out there right now that's going? No one's coming to save you, Greeny. No one's coming to save the Jets organization right now. All their eggs was in one basket. Aaron Rodgers was not only the quarterback, he was the offensive coordinator. He was the whole damn franchise. And he goes up in smoke in four plays. Mm. And now you're left with the rubble right here. Right. You got an offensive coordinator who's uncreative, who doesn't know what the hell he's doing out there. This is not Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. Like, you got to figure out what Zach Wilson does well. I don't know what Zach Wilson does well, but you got to figure something out here, because let me tell you something. This thing is going to get away from you quick, fast, in a hurry right now. Right now.
I honestly can't be fired up about it because I feel sorry for him.
For who?
I feel sorry for the entire team. I feel sorry for Robert Saleh. If you look at his face when he was asked that question about Zach Wilson, there was a reason he couldn't find the words, because there are none. You said, we have to figure out what Zach Wilson does well. It's be the backup quarterback. Zach Wilson was happy, right? Like, he was legitimately happy because he didn't have to play. I played with people like this in high school whose father played high school football, whose parents loved going to the football games on Friday, and they were just happy to be on the team. They never wanted to play. They never had an intention of playing. And if you tried to put them in the game, they would suddenly get cramps. That's how Zach Wilson is playing right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be out there. And I'm going to be honest, it's not his fault. It's not his fault we look at him this way. It's not his fault that he's in this position. Their plan to put all their eggs in the basket of Aaron Rodgers wasn't because they just wanted to. It's because they had to.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of hope and the sort of faith that they had in that was that it couldn't get any worse and that we couldn't go back to Zach Wilson. Look at Garrett Wilson's face. Look at him on the sideline. He's not trying to pump Zach Wilson up. He's pleading with him. Please, please, all offseason, all I thought about was winning the championship. All offseason, all I thought about was that I'd have an opportunity to be offensive player of the year. Aaron Rodgers did not apologize to Garrett Wilson for getting hurt because he thought that Garrett Wilson was just going to be sad he was hurt. He knew the year was over.
Yeah.
He knew what was behind him. And when you look at Robert Saleh's face, he knows too. It's a wrap, y'all. It's over.
And you're 100% right. The difference between those teammates of yours in high school and Zach Wilson is that they weren't the second pick in the NFL.
That's not his fault either.
No, well, maybe it's not his fault. It's someone's fault. And the bottom line of it is this, Rex. He cannot be out on the field ever again for the Jets, and I'm going to tell you why. I know you disagree. I'm going to tell you why. Because RC is right. Their chances of winning anything this year are over. They're not remote. They're done. They need to try to keep this thing together. And if they run Zach Wilson out there one more time, Garrett Wilson's going to lose it. Michael Carter was losing it. They're all going to lose it. So I don't care who it is. Literally anyone. Carson Wentz is calling. Matt Ryan is calling. I don't care who the hell you have to run out there. Do anything else. But that is going to explode in there. They already hated that kid last year. They're running around in Mike White shirts. They probably shouldn't have kept him on the team in the first place, but they want to try and justify the fact that they made him the second pick in the draft and had this idea that maybe Aaron Rodgers will turn him into a superstar, as though he's not only going to be the quarterback, but he's also going to be a coach, which I guess in theory he could have been. But the bottom line of it is they can't put him back on the field again. Sunday night against Kansas City, that team is ready to fracture.
Well, here's, I'll say this. Number one, he's on the team for a reason.
What?
They couldn't afford a backup quarterback to bring in another veteran backup, a Gardner Minshew for $8 million. They couldn't afford it. They put everything in. Everybody's right. Every single chip went in on the Aaron Rodgers thing. And
that's
when
true.
He went down, it is what it is. Right now, you've got an offensive coordinator sitting back. We're going to find out about him more than anybody else. Because right now, you got to sit back and why is it not working? Why does it look so bad? Because it was all set up for Aaron Rodgers. This is not Aaron Rodgers. He can't hold his jock strap. We get that. So now we got to sit back. They're not going to punt on the season. Robert Saleh, I like Robert Saleh.
He's a
dog. I like him. And I think he's going to fix this team. And here's why I think he's going to fix it. So, Greeny, I'm going to sit back and be laughing because when this season starts going, I'm going to sit back and say, I told you so. And here's why. They are going to play better on defense. Sauce Gardner can't screw up like he did, you know, in cover three. You got to be on top of that route. That route doesn't exist. It's a baseball score game, and maybe we win in a damn walk-off. That's how you have to win games. Give this staff a chance to sit back and say, okay, who the hell are we now that Aaron Rodgers is not there? What can this kid do? Well, he's got mobility, and he's got arm talent. That's one thing. That's two things I know the kid has.
Yeah.
Is he a jerk at times? Absolutely. But I know he can move. Let's move the pocket. We're struggling to pass protect. Let's change the launch freaking angle.
But they can't block nobody.
Have they done any of that? But they haven't done literally any of that. They haven't done any of that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Give the guy a chance to sit back and say, now we know Aaron's not there. We've got to do some things like this. It takes time to do. They also need to find out who the hell they are running the football, D. Wood.
Rex, they have no identity. That's the problem here. They got to be – listen – like you talked about, Nathaniel Hackett, we're going to learn a lot about Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator. Rex, when we were together, when I can't even say the word, when, you know, bullcrap hit the fan, we knew we had a couple things that we could hang our hat on.
Right.
They need things they can hang their hat on.
That's
they don't have that. Running the football, they got to have things that they can hang their hat on to take the pressure off the quarterback because the quarterback is not going to get it done.
But this is what I'm seeing right now. They don't know who they are running the football. They know they got some talent at tailback, but they can't figure out, are they running duo? Were they double team both D tackles or whatever? Are they going to run the outside zone play or whatever? They can't even figure that out. They've got to find out, say, no, we're going to run it. Here's what we would do. Our thing on offense was we're going to run the damn power. All right, point of attack, we're going to double team that thing, pull the backside guard around, and we're going to hit that thing downhill 20 times. That's how they're going to have to do it.
Because you had DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold and Damian Woody.
Yeah.
The Jets have a terrible offensive line, and they knew that going into the season. Rodgers was going to theoretically try and cover it up. Let's just go back, though, however, to the point of this. It feels like a pressure cooker, and it almost happened last year. Mm-hmm. There was a mutiny. If he had left Zach Wilson on the field one more game last year, I think the Jets locker room would have exploded. My biggest fear is that before Rodgers can fix anything again, it will happen.
No, I believe so. But the other piece is this, Greeny. You're standing up here and you're talking about Zach Wilson and you're squeezing your hands like Arthur. I don't know if you've ever seen that meme when Arthur's just squeezing the mess out of his hands to his side. Like that's what you look like. Imagine that locker room. And I always say this. Do you know why you're so upset? Why you're so hurt? because expectations are the breeding grounds for disappointment, yeah. right? And you were so excited right. coming into the season. You thought that this team was going to be so different. But what did we say the entire offseason? It's about what this offensive line could be. You knew this offensive line would have problems, and Aaron Rodgers was supposed to fix that. He's no longer there. So who is there to fix that? Before you got Aaron Rodgers or while you had him, who were you building up in case? Because inexplicably, in case he gets hurt, the possibility that's 100%, all of us will get hurt at sometimes. What are we going to do? There was no contingency plan. There was no, like, in case of emergency, break the glass. They need to break the glass. They just can't figure out what's behind it.
The glass is long since broken. I mean, let's be very clear. We got no glass. There's no glass. And if there is, it would have cut our feet to shreds at this point. All right, let's take a break. Let's talk about anything else. Oh, how about this?
Oh, you're going to see it.
Yeah, the Bears. Oh, yeah, they stink, too. We'll talk about them in a minute. And the cranky we are on a Monday morning. And by we, I mean me. Here we go. You may have heard there was a football game yesterday, and Taylor Swift was there. She is the newest Chiefs fan. She was sitting next to Donna Kelce, the mother of that man, Travis Kelce. They were playing the Bears. It wasn't pretty. 7 minutes in the first quarter, second and goal. Patrick Mahomes, Jerick McKinnon.
Jerick McKinnon's always big in the red zone, and they saw that the Miami Dolphins were using the shovel. They said, you won't out-shovel us.
Oh, he says, look what you made me do. And then Justin Fields against Chris Jones.
Oh.
It's exhausting always rooting for the anti-hero. Under 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. Chiefs up 14-0. Mahomes, Justin Watson.
Justin Watson has been the deep threat for this team the entire season. Comes up big for Patrick Mahomes once again.
Mahomes had enough time to listen to the entire 10-minute version of All Too Well while he was standing back there. Mahomes, McKinnon, there's a blank space in the defense. In case you haven't gotten the rhythm here, these are all Taylor Swift references. Now, it's Justin Fields. It's tipped and it's picked. We are never, ever, ever, ever getting back together.
Well, they should probably just shake it off, Greeny.
That's exactly right. Let's finish it with this. The only thing remaining after my Fox affiliate had cut away from this game was for Mahomes to get Kelce his touchdown because it's a love story, baby, just say yes. Mahomes and the Chiefs, 41-10. Taylor loves it. Aaron Andrews after the game with Mahomes on the field.
I heard she was in the house.
Did you feel it? Did you feel the pressure, Patrick?
I felt a little bit of pressure. And so I knew I had to get it to Trav. And of course, it's on a route that Travis, he does his own thing and just makes up a route and I throw it to him. I think he wanted to get in the end zone just as much as all the Swifties wanted him to.
All the Swifties.
So nobody is going to talk about, like, the dudes that was next to Taylor Swift that were way hyper the whole time. My man was banging on the window. Right. Them boys was jumping. Taylor Swift up there saying, let's effing go. Right. It was a day.
It was a day. Look, I mean, she is the rarest of stars who could actually be bigger than a football game. So we deal with it. She was great, terrific. Chiefs, great, awesome. They're coming to play the Jets Sunday night. Hideous. Now let's get to the other side of it. Oh, my God, are the Bears awful. I mean, after the week that they just had, with everything that happened with the quarterback and this, what he said about the coaches and all that, and then the defensive coordinator was out, this could go one of two ways. If they were going to be a team, if they had anything at all, they were going to band together, maybe not beat Kansas City, but play a representative game. This game was literally over the moment it started, Rex. What can we say about the Bears?
The Bears stink. And they don't
stink.
The one thing you can always count on with a Chicago Bear team is they would have, like, an unbelievable amount of pride. I don't see that in this group right here.
Yeah.
And to me, look, and here's why. They've gone 13 straight games where they've given up at least 25 points.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's an NFL record, all right? And is that the Bears you remember? Look, Chicago Bear fans always like the fact that, you know what, yeah, you might be better than us, but our team's tougher than your team. And that was okay with Bear fans. Right now, this team right here is a sieve. They don't play any defense. And you know, forget about the quarterback. Yeah, he's got no chance back there. Like, this team is awful, man. At least have some pride.
I'm just tired of talking about Justin Field. Like, I looked on the defense side of football, and Rex kind of alluded to it. Like, when you think of the Bears, you think of, you know, the monsters of the Midway. You think of just hard, tough-nosed defense. They can't stop a nosebleed right now. To me, like that, I think that might be the most disappointing aspect of the Bears is that, forget the quarterback, the defense can't – you got a defensive-minded head coach that can't coach defense.
I mean, the only fun conversation to have about the Bears is which is worse, their offense or their defense. But the answer is yes.
Greedy, but it's not even about the fun. It's about this team looks apathetic, right? When you watch Justin Fields walk off the field, there is no emotion. There is no, I thought we could be better. There is no, guys, let's get it together. No, that could be his personality, or that could be that he's just beaten down by one, playing so bad himself. Not putting it on the coaches, not putting it on anyone else, not finding a way to be better individually, and then being terrible as a team. Or if you're DJ Moore and you come over and we're saying you're the answer to the Chicago Bears passing woes, and now you're standing across from Devin White and he tells you, they ain't using you right, bro. Mm-hmm. And you say, I know, right? You go back to the sideline or you go back to the building and you're trying every day to be better. You're trying to figure out something and nobody's helping you. You know how it is, Rex. Yes, we're all the ultimate alpha males. Yes, we all have these egos. We're all confident. But there are sometimes we walk into the building and we look at you and we say, you gotta help us, right? You gotta help us figure out a way to be better. And we're listening and we wanna learn and we're hungry and we wanna be fed. Somebody gotta feed these dudes. And if you can't, right? Because remember, this was supposed to be the teardown that led to the buildup.
Yeah.
If you can't fix it, you got to tear it down all again, right? So it's like we've deconstructed a building or we've demolished a building. We're starting to build the foundation and you're building it on sand, right?
Yeah.
It's sinking already. And the thing is, they were terrible week one.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, can't get no worse.
Right.
And then they were worse. Week two. And I was like, oh, this is the bottom. Now it's in the freaking abyss, right? Like it is done. It is gone. You know what I mean? Like one time they said, there was a song. They said, ain't no valley low enough. This mug is low. It is a wrap.
And you know what? You talk about it because you hit the nail on the head. Justin Fields, up until a couple of weeks ago when he said what he said, that just showed the frustration he had. Because he's like, I want to be better. I want to put this team up there. And I'm frustrated when he said the coaching thing is because the kid's like, I'm doing what you're asking me to do or whatever. Like, that's the damn frustration with this football team. But now, if you're on defense, though, like, and now, Eberflus, you lose the defensive coordinator, you got to take it over. Well, step the hell up. You're supposed to be this guy, and you never have been, but you're supposed to be.
Right. Whatever happened to being like, you know what, man? Everybody's better than us. We stink. I'm finna hit everybody. I'm just gonna go crazy. Everybody's gonna hate me. They're gonna call me dirty. I'm hitting everybody, every single
play. I'm hitting everything that's moving.
Every time.
So, what you can probably sense, there's a great deal of displeasure, right? We're cranky, we're angry, no one's happy. We need something to make us laugh. So we will turn to the least likely place, the unfunniest person in the world. Bill Belichick said this morning.
Swiftie, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, where do you fall on that?
Well, I would say that Travis Kelce's had a lot of big catches in his career. This would be the biggest.
And you got to remember, too, Bill just applauded her toughness a few weeks ago. So this is Bill's kind of girl. Talented, right? Talented. Someone that overcomes adversity.
Yes.
Heck, yeah. Bill's fired up about this.
Plays well in the rain. I mean, that's what she did a whole. That's why he was so impressed, because she played an entire concert in a pouring rainstorm and was absolutely brilliant. That's what. So Bill,
that's
best. Rex, leave it to Bill to say the funniest thing of the day.
Of course, man. I mean, it's,
you know why?
It was great.
You know why? Because he just beat the Jets yesterday, so he's in such a good mood.
He's a great,
you know that as well as I,
Greeny.
Nothing makes that man happy.
Hey, Greeny. Hey, Greeny. It's old hat now.
Yeah, no,
like it's
no.
It's not like beating the Jets is new.
No,
ever since Rex left. Ever since Rex left, they've been doing that like 15 times in a row.
I gotta take exception to that. There's nothing he likes more than beating the Jets.
He loves it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what state of the Jets are in. He loves demolishing the Jets.
15 consecutive wins.
I'm tell you what.
Against the Jets. All right.
We knew this was coming, Greeny.
Yeah.
When Travis Kelce shaved his beard.
Oh, yeah.
And got a Ted Lasso mustache. You knew the tale of play was in the work.
That's right.
You know, you know.
Next hour's on the way. What the actual heck happened to the Cowboys yesterday? Was their loss to the Cardinals a bad day or a bad sign? We'll answer that question right after this. Get up on ESPN.